what happens when we die? Where do we go? Is that the place we'll be forever? The scope of those questions are way beyond a single sermon. But as we move through our mini-series on the life ahead, we come to the topic of heaven. And the question is posed, when does heaven begin? That theme is what we're thinking about this morning, rather than our usual way of working through a single passage of the Bible. Do have your Bibles open at the passage Michelle read, and there's a sermon outline on the front of the news sheet, if that helps. But before we answer the question, when does heaven begin, it's worth giving brief consideration to the question, well, what actually is heaven? Though again, our considerations this morning aren't exhaustive. What is heaven? Belinda Carlisle was a pin-up icon for many teenage boys of my generation. Her greatest hit, arguably, Heaven is a Place on Earth. They say in heaven, love comes first. We'll make heaven a place on earth. I'm not sure if the songwriters were concerned with theological accuracy when they penned that track. Call me picky, but it isn't. That's just not the way the Bible speaks about heaven. Heaven isn't our place, but it's God's place. It's where God is. As we work through the Sermon on the Mount last term, there's a repeated refrain Jesus uses, your Father in heaven. Heaven is God's place. A real space where God is, beyond our reach, but no less real. Heaven is the place God dwells in all his fullness, his throne room. And the King is on his throne. Jesus is there. Heaven is the place Jesus was going when he says in John's Gospel, I am returning to my Father. It's the place Jesus went after he ascended in Acts. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is seated in heaven at the right hand of his Father. Heaven is the paradise Jesus spoke of in Luke 23, the place he would be. As Jesus hangs on the cross with two criminals, one on each side, we get a glimpse of the conversation between them. To one, Jesus says in verse 43, you will be with me in paradise. Heaven is God's place. And it's because God is there that heaven is a wonderful place. Luke 23, Jesus says, with me in paradise. I'm reminded of the old strapline for bounty bars, a taste of paradise. And all the images that come into mind as we think about that word, paradise. For biblical images, our minds might wander back to Genesis and the Garden of Eden. The very goodness of creation as God first made it. A place of unbroken relationship with God. Where in some real sense, God and man inhabited the same space together. The Garden of Eden, a type, a representation of the future bliss God promises his people. In short, the thing we look forward to. Heaven is God's place. And second, by way of introduction, heaven is for Christians. Who will be in heaven with God? Well, Luke 23, Jesus makes this promise to only one of the criminals alongside him. To the man who professes faith in Jesus. The faith in this criminal's heart is expressed by his lips. Verse 41, he confesses his sin and guilt. Verse 42, he professes faith in Jesus, turns to Jesus as his only hope of rescue. Or even more simply, verse 42, here's someone who recognizes Jesus is king and bows the knee before him. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, I know that one day you'll return in glory as the true king. Remember me on that day. This is the one to whom Jesus says, you will be with me in paradise. Heaven is for Christians, for those who are trusting in Jesus. And so hope is born. The hope of heaven for all who turn and trust in the Lord Jesus. And as the criminal, for those who come with nothing, nothing to offer, those who are broken, those who are aware of their own failings, hope is found in Jesus. There is no one beyond the scope of God's forgiveness in Jesus. It's a personal hope. But it's also a corporate hope, a hope of being with those Christians who've gone before us, here no more, but with God in God's place. What is heaven? Heaven is God's place, the place where God lives, and heaven is for Christians, the place where God and his people will live together in paradise. So back to our question, when does heaven begin? Well, first, heaven begins now. With the general election only a matter of days away, the contest is being fought hard. Whichever box your ex finds itself in on the 7th of May, hot topics of this campaign include immigration, migration, the European Union and our membership of it. As citizens from other countries come and make this land their home. Their citizenship is elsewhere, though they're here in person in the UK. That may indeed be the status of some of us here this morning. Australian, Asian, European, even some Scots. Living here, perhaps just passing through, but nevertheless citizens of another place. The Bible speaks that way of Christians on earth. The Apostle Paul says to the church, Christians at Philippi, our citizenship is in heaven. Christians belong with Jesus. We're trusting in Jesus. And Jesus is today in heaven, which is where we belong. We're here now in person, but our citizenship, the place we truly belong, is with Jesus in heaven. Wherever our earthly origin, wherever our earthly home, Christians have a new passport stamped heaven on the front. The hope of heaven is for all who turn and trust in the Lord Jesus. But it's not just a future hope, not just the hope of being with Jesus in the future. In some real sense, we have the hope of heaven today. Perhaps, just perhaps, Belinda Carlisle was onto something. Could heaven really be a place on earth? Well, in some way, yes. They say in heaven, love comes first. We'll make heaven a place on earth. That though I'm sure the love that gives us the taste of heaven on earth isn't primarily human love, important as that is, but it's God's love for us. The Bible tells us that we love because he first loved us. A love that's seen supremely in the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world, he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The experience of human love is truly wonderful, but it's nothing to the experience of God's love for us in Jesus. A love we'll experience more fully in heaven with Jesus in person, but a love we can experience a taste of now, a taste of heaven on earth as we spend time with Jesus here. If your loved one is away on business or traveling, don't we delight to read and reread their texts or emails to us? I guess they're our modern equivalent of a love letter. It makes us feel closer to them, though they're far from us. What a privilege for us to have God's words to us on the pages of the Bible, for us to learn more about Jesus, though he is away from us in person. God's love letter. And as we pick up the phone to speak to our loved one, perhaps thousands of miles overseas, where the wreck of a phone bill is a minor cost compared to the joy of speaking to them for a moment, what a privilege for us to speak to God in prayer, our line of communication. Heaven begins now. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we get a taste of what it'll be like to be in heaven as we listen to Jesus and speak to him now, whilst we wait to be with him. There's a great book by Edward Donnelly. I've left it on the pew instead of bringing it up here. It's on the bottom of the sermon outline as a recommended read. Donnelly writes, "The richer and deeper our fellowship with him now, the more heavenly will be our present experience, and the better prepared we will be for heaven." When does heaven begin? Well, heaven begins now. Secondly, heaven comes fully at death. we find ourselves back in Luke 23 in the conversation between Jesus and one of the criminals. The confession of guilt in verse 41 and the profession of faith in verse 42. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. They're met with surprising words from Jesus. The Jews believed that God's true king would come in glory to set all things straight once and for all. Judgment Day, as we thought about last week. That the dead would be raised, the world would be judged, and God's people would be with him forever. One of the criminals believes in Jesus, that when King Jesus returns in glory at some point way off in the future, that Jesus can rescue him, restore him, receive him, whatever word we want to use. But the criminal has his eyes fixed on a final day somewhere way in the future when he'll be with King Jesus. So the surprise comes in verse 43 when Jesus says, Today, you will be with me in paradise. I tell you the truth. Listen carefully. This is really important. Today, you will be with me in paradise. The criminal hopes to be with Jesus at the end of time, but Jesus says that will happen today. Before the sun sets and evening comes, today, you will be with me in paradise. Heaven comes fully at death. There's no soul sleep, no period where we suddenly wake up at the end of time. No, for those of us who face death today, known or unknown to us, if we're trusting in Jesus, we will be with him before the sun sets this evening. Heaven is God's place where dead Christians go to be with Jesus. And we go in spirit. Ecclesiastes 12 tells us that the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. The body remains ashes to ashes, dust to dust, but the spirit goes to meet its maker. The next life, the afterlife, is a spiritual life. Heaven comes fully at death as the Christian spirit goes to be with Jesus. Which also rules out purgatory. If there's ever a case to show the error of purgatory, it's the criminal on the cross. A convicted criminal, a deep sinner with no redeeming past, no family to offer prayers or take mass or purchase a reduction in his time. No time or means for him to earn salvation. Yet Jesus offers this man paradise today because he trusts in Jesus. The grace of God, God's undeserved goodness to us in Jesus, rules out any notion of purgatory for the human spirit. That word today is truly a beautiful word, especially for those of us who've lost loved ones who are Christians. 1 Thessalonians 4, we do not need to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Though pain and loss is hard and real for us, those trusting in Jesus need not fear death. Death is a passing to be with Jesus. And loved ones we have loved and lost who died in Christ are this morning now with him. When Christians depart, we depart to be with Christ. While we are mourning, they are with their Saviour. While we are weeping, they are safe with their Lord. One bishop, sadly, no longer a bishop in the Church of England, writes, "To die is a solemn thing, but if we die in the Lord, we need not doubt that our death will be gain." When does heaven begin? Well, heaven begins now, but comes fully at death. And finally, heaven is not the end. Time magazine lists 80 days that changed the world. Penicillin discovered. Neil Armstrong sets foot on the moon. Two planes fly into the Twin Towers. Maybe we've each had days that have shaped the direction of our own lives. What Jesus says in Luke 23 is nothing short of revolutionary. When Jesus offers the hope of heaven today to the criminal on the cross, he challenges our understanding of life after death. The Bible points ahead to a day, that day, the day of the Lord, Judgment Day, the second coming, when God's true King will come in glory to set all things straight, once and for all. On that day, the dead will be raised, the world will be judged, and God's people will be with him forever. That's what the criminal has in mind in Luke 23:42, when he says to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Yet Jesus has something more immediate. It's like the waiting room at the doctor's. You know, we've arrived at the surgery and we've checked in. Our appointment is confirmed, but we stay in the waiting room until the doctor's ready to see us. Heaven is where Christians wait for the main event, the return of the King. It's our immediate destination after death, but it's not our final destination. Heaven is the place Christians wait consciously in the presence of our King and Saviour until the day he returns to earth to set things straight. Until, as Revelation 21 and 22 present to us, God brings us into the new creation, where everything is renewed, where sin is finally judged and banished, a place where there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. A physical creation, where 1 Corinthians 15, we are reunited with our renewed bodies. Heaven is a present reality and a future hope for Christians, but it's not our ultimate hope. Heaven is not the end. See you in heaven? I hope not. Personally, I'm hoping not to go to heaven, but I accept I may have to. How much better if Jesus returns to bring in the new creation before we die? And surely on that note, the thought stirs within us, the cry of the church across the ages, the cry of the last pages of the Bible, "Amen, come Lord Jesus." Heaven is God's place, and heaven is for Christians. Heaven begins now with our citizenship of heaven, but comes fully at death, when we actually go to be with Jesus in spirit. Yet heaven is not the end. Jesus and those with him are coming back, where Jesus will renew our creation, a physical reality, spirit and body, our final destination, the new creation. As we finish now, it seems fitting to close with the final verses of Jude, the same words we closed the funeral service with, declaring the greatness of our God who is able to take us through death and into eternity safe in the arms of Christ. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.